Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study on Ephesians chapter 1, we were talking about the difference between coming boldly unto God and coming in arrogance. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And I believe that Romans 5:8 says it best, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, other words, just like we are, Christ died for us. I think the four most profound words in the Bible are found right there. Christ died for us. What is Jesus doing now in heavenly places at the right hand? This shows us the goodness of his person. Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's our part as Christians. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now let me just say a couple things about those verses in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Jesus knows what it's like to live a life of trial. He can intercede with great empathy and sympathy for us because he knows what it is to feel the full effect of trial and temptation. Coming boldly as a result into the throne of grace does not mean coming arrogantly. Now, sometimes you'll hear people pray and say, now, God, I told you to do this, and God, I told you to do that, and you got to do it. Well, my friend, that's arrogance. Coming boldly is coming with confidence in the person of Christ. It is not coming in arrogance. Please don't make that mistake that others have made. It's regrettable. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And my friend, this is what he's doing right now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He makes intercession for his people. And, oh, he's able to take the guttermost and save them to the uttermost. What a great God that we serve. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we're told that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When believing on a name, it meant that you were trusting the person of the man. For example, you apply for a loan for a new home, and they want to know your history. They want to know all you owe. They want to know how much you make, where you live, how long you've done it. And based on that information, they grant you a loan because they are trusting your person for that amount to be paid over the long haul. In other words, they are believing on your name. Unfortunately, from time to time, they will back a bad judgment of character. And they will lose because the person will not make their payments. When coming to Christ, you are trusting your very destiny, your eternal destiny, on his person. His credit report shows that he rose from the dead. His credit report shows that He will never leave you nor forsake you. His credit report shows that He made the heavens and the earth, and that without Him was not anything made that was made. So, my friend, He's not a bad risk. You can trust His person with your life. His character is perfect. You won't lose following Christ. The goodness of His power is for our benefit, who receive Him as our Lord and Savior. The goodness of His person is therefore seen in that the use of that mighty power, that omnipotent power that He has, is for us, and it is in us. Now let's continue here in Ephesians chapter 1, looking at verse 21. For far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, my friend, He is far above all might and power in this life and the life to come. There have been some well-known people in this life, and when we get to heaven, we'll find that the last are made first. There'll be some great names in heaven, but my friend, there'll be none greater than our Lord. And all the great names combined will not be greater than our Lord. Yes, He is far above all might and power in this life and in the life which is to come. You see, the world to come speaks of the new eternal age. When He mentions there in verse 21, principality, power, might, and dominion, that speaks of the great powers of angelic hosts. Now, there are good and there are evil angels. The evil angels belong unto Satan. And it's not just the most powerful angels in view. Rather, the verse is showing us that all the powers combined, along with the great names of men in the history of mankind, all of this combined in the future reign, are still far below His rank and His power. Now, when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, we'll tell you about the devil's power structure. And you'll see some principalities and powers that will be involved in that power structure. You see, Satan has a very well-organized machine. But my friend, it's still far below the power of our Lord. And how does He use this power and His position? Let's think back on Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." In other words, He was Almighty God. "But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He who created us in His likeness humbled Himself and took on our likeness. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Oh, yes, my friend. He used His power to pay the penalty for our sin. But we also need to see His power in eternity. For it says, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Looking backwards, He is the Creator. All things were made by Him. But looking forward here to the world to come, and always looking upward, having our affection on things above, because that is where our Lord and Savior sits and intercedes for us. You ever hear somebody say, "Well, you know, I know that I ought to live for the Lord and I ought to be separated from worldliness and sin, but you know, I gotta live." No, you don't. Place yourself at His feet to be plowed and planted that you might spring forth with fruit that has eternal glory and benefit. So let us see this Lord Jesus Christ of ours. Let's have our affections on things above, because that's where He sits. He's the all-powerful one, a man who was wounded but crowned, a one who died but is alive, one who was crucified but is now glorified. To have this power and then to use that power to intercede in love for us before the Father shows us the great goodness of His person. And all we can say to that is, wow, His person is great. And we also see the goodness of His person in His personal performance for us. We look at verses 22 and 23, and it says, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." God's divine instrument for this age is not government, but the local church, which is made up, in His books, of only saved people. And what we must understand is that He is the head of this church. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. This is telling us that Jesus Christ is God's great gift to the local church. And after reading of His great power, there is no greater gift. Therefore, the order of the church must be His will, and every activity must exalt Him. If each member will proactively recognize this, that is, if every saved person will proactively recognize this, there will be no lack for that individual and for the church to receive His fullness with His imparted strength to accomplish every God-given task. And I emphasize God-given task, which we're told in His Word. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.